Do good people go to heaven? That's popular to think that way today, that there's some kind of a scale going from not so good to okay to good to better. We hear things like, there was a survey recently that said 2/3 of Americans say they believe they're going to go to heaven. Only 0.5% say they were hellbound. People will say things like, well, I'm no Hitler. They'll say the God of the New Testament is loving. God's going to grade on a curve. God will honor our good deeds. Now, what's the Christian response to that? 2/3 of Americans say they believe they'll go to heaven. 2/3. I guess the question would be, so what are the standards? Why would God let you in? I like people saying, I'm no Hitler. How's that for a standard? Don't put yourself up against a Mother Teresa or somebody sweet. Just, well, I'm not a Hitler, so probably God will let me in. After all, the God of the New Testament is loving. What can we say about that? Oh, Jesus spoke a lot about hell, didn't he? And then we hear God will grade on a curve. Why do we assume God is going to grade on a curve? I never understood where that came from. God honors our good deeds. Well, that's fine. Until you think about the bad deeds we have. Let's get a little more serious. Let's get a little more in depth here. Here's the first point. Do good people go to heaven? There are no good people. Mark 10:18, Jesus said, no one is good except God alone. Old Testament echoes that too, doesn't it? Jeremiah 17:9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. That is so contrary to today's culture. Everything today says, trust your heart. If it feels good, do it. We've got to get non-Christians to see this. So how can we show that nobody is good? Well, how about this? Let's ask questions. So you go up to somebody. I think God let me in. I've been pretty good. Really? Do you keep all the Ten Commandments? And go through the Ten Commandments. Let them understand what it means to love God. Do you live up to your own moral standards? Forget the Ten Commandments. You say, well, maybe they're too high. Do you live up to your own moral standards? Whatever you think of is appropriate or inappropriate behavior. Who even lives up to their own moral standards? We could ask, do you ever feel guilt? And it may not be because society is shaming you. Maybe it's because you are guilty. You ever thought about this? What if you just committed 10 sins a day? And you think about even your own moral standard, if you don't live up to that. So you commit 10 sins, you misfire morally 10 times a day. That's just minimal, isn't it? 10 times a day, try that for a lifetime. See what that adds up to. Shall we do that? Yeah, okay. Let's take a calculator. Let's try it out. Okay, so we go 10 sins a day times 360 days. Let's round it off. Okay, we go 365. Now we're up to 3,650 sins a year. Well, let's say we get to the age of accountability. Let's call it age 10 and we live till 80. That's 70 years. So let's multiply it times 70. And what are we going to get? Over 250,000 sins. And that, remember, that was with a real minimal 10 sins a day. I don't think anybody just commits 10 sins a day. I know I don't. One key point about the history of evil. Have you ever thought about this? If you look back and you find out some of the real atrocities committed by the Nazis and the Communists and the Turks and the Japanese and, yes, the Americans as well. The atrocities were not committed just by the Hitler in charge, just by the Mao in China, or just by Pol Pot, or just by some of these other leaders. The atrocities were committed by average people, not just those few leaders. They were very happy. Once they had the power, they were very happy to use that power in some awful ways. So here's another question we can ask. Could you have been a guard at Auschwitz? Could you? Well, unfortunately, I think all of us could. It's terrible to think about. Now, we might come up with an excuse, but we could be guards at Auschwitz. These were common people that got caught up in this because they got the power. Here's another way to understand that idea of good. Are we good persons, or are we persons that do good things? Think about that. Are we good persons? By the way, that's not what the Bible says. Or are we persons that can do good things? That's the biblical view, isn't it? But in our culture, if you do good things, then you're a good person. You can wear that label with pride. I'm a good person. I do good things. I give some money to Salvation Army. I'm a good person. I let the car get in front of me there at a stop. Let him move ahead of me. I'm a good person. I help clean up the neighborhood. I'm a good person. Well, that's very different. This is not what Jesus said. Jesus said, only God is good. We got to go back one more time to Jesus. This loving Jesus, this sweet baby Jesus that grew up, this Lamb of God, but he put a pretty high standard. God is the only one who's good. We are all lawbreakers. We need to get that across. We are all lawbreakers. Let's take an illustration. You drive your car, and you've driven your car for years, and you stop. You're conscientious about stopping at every stop sign and every red light. But one day, on purpose, you're running late or something, you go through a red light. But you've got all these thousands of red lights that you stopped at. A cop pulls you over and you say, but officer, I stopped at all these red lights. And what's the policeman going to say? Policewoman, are you a lawbreaker? Yes, you are. You're a lawbreaker. Doesn't matter how many good deeds you did, you are now a lawbreaker. Well, what about this? My God is loving and would forgive me. Very common statement, isn't it? All right, let me tell you a story. See what you think here. Somebody enters your house. You're not home. Your spouse is home. This intruder beats up your spouse, takes whatever he or she can, sets the house on fire. Your spouse staggers out and is saved. But the house is gone. Your spouse is in the hospital. And they catch that individual. And that person is put on trial. And you're there in the front row on the day that the trial starts. And the judge says this. Listen, before we start, the state of California, that's where I live, the state of California is a loving state, and we want to spread forgiveness. And so I'm not even going to bring this case to trial. I'm going to release this individual. Now remember, you're sitting in the front row, and your spouse has been in the hospital, and your house is destroyed. What are you going to say? Good idea? No, you're going to say, we want justice, and you should have it. We should also understand God's standard. Remember, a lot of people think it's the kind of a sliding scale. Some people say, no, as long as you do some good deeds. Well, what does the Bible say? Romans 3:23, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We fall short. Now, I've heard this illustration, which I think is a good one. You're at the Grand Canyon, and there are two of you there. You're able to leap 4 feet before you fall in the canyon. The person next to you can jump 2 feet out but falls into the canyon. The canyon is so big it doesn't matter that you jump slightly further. You're heading for destruction. The same thing applies here, doesn't it? All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. The glory of God is that chasm that we're trying to reach God. And we say, well, we're good people, so we jump 4 feet. That doesn't matter. God's standard is so far away from us, so much higher than ours, that it doesn't matter that we can jump 4 feet compared to Adolf Hitler or somebody else that jumps 1 foot. How about James 2:10? For whoever keeps the whole law but fails in one point has become accountable for all of it. Remember the thing about the red light, a little story about the red light. This person keeps the law, stops at every red light, but fails. One time, you're now accountable. So our view, I want you to think of this illustration, our view is that there's a tape measure and we're just kind of measuring up to the tape measure. But God's view is we are a microscopic speck in the solar system. That's how he sees us. We are awfully small. And our attempts to do good are laughable in the eyes of God. Maybe a better question, instead of do good people go to heaven, a better question would be, how can anyone possibly enter heaven when God's standards are so far above us and we're so tiny in respect to that? How could anyone possibly enter heaven? We are broken people. We don't deserve to be with God forever. We're lawbreakers. We deserve punishment. But here comes the good news. The good news is not us. The good news is not our efforts. Romans 5:8, God shows his love for us. Why? In that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Christ comes to our rescue. We do not rescue ourselves. We do not keep piling up good deeds and hope they outweigh our bad deeds. The death of Jesus satisfies God's perfect justice. Now, how does it do that? Well, let me give you an illustration. There's another story. Stories work real well here. There's a king in a far-off country, and somebody has come in a couple of times and stolen some food from the royal kitchen. He said, the next time I catch somebody stealing food from the royal kitchen, that person is going to get 100 lashes. So the proclamation is issued. And two nights later, they catch somebody, and it's the king's mother. Now, she's kind of old and frail. If they go through with the punishment, and she's guilty, there's no doubt about it, she did it. So if they get her tied down and they lash her 100 times, chances are she's going to die. So here we go. This is going to be the illustration back to the story of Jesus. The king, on the day of carrying out this decree, stands next to his mother, and the person, the person who has the whip is standing there ready to go. And the king has the mother tied to the post, but then the king takes off his shirt, stands across between the mother and the person doing the whipping, and wraps his arms around the mother and says, justice will be carried out, but it will be carried out on me. And so he gets the 100 lashes. This is a perfect illustration, isn't it? The love of God. God coming and in the form of Jesus, taking us sinners. We're on that pole, strapped to that pole, but he intervenes and he steps between us and the punishment we deserve. Great illustration. Now, I want to think about this for just a minute. Some bad news and some good news. This is what we need to say when we're talking about this, do good people go to heaven? Well, we've got some bad news and we've got some good news. Of course, in America, all we want to hear is good news. But the biblical approach is to give the bad news first. Peter's sermon, the very first sermon recorded in Acts, illustrates this. He says, this Jesus that came to save you, you put him to death on the cross. And the people were cut to the quick. They said, what should we do? And then Peter gives them the good news. So we need to talk bad news, good news. Maybe we should ask, here's another approach we can think about when we're talking to people. Ask someone what Jesus said were the two greatest commandments. Love God, love your neighbor as yourself. Okay, we're supposed to love God. So what's worse? To murder, which means you're taking out a person, or to reject God and Jesus. Isn't that worse? He said you're supposed to love God. And yet, if we reject him, we reject what Jesus has done, we've committed the greatest sin of all. We have rejected the God of the universe. So let's talk about good works for just a minute here, since people seem to think that's the way you get to heaven. Should we be doing good works? Of course. It's all through the Bible, all through the New Testament. Giving to the poor, helping the weak and the indigent. Should we be doing good works? Of course. Why do we do them? To get into heaven? No, absolutely not. We do that out of gratitude to God. He has done the ultimate good work for us. We in turn then do good works to thank God. So the works do not get us into heaven. The works are just an appreciation for what God has done. It's the blood of Jesus spilled on the cross that gets us into heaven. Now, we might want to compare Christianity to other religions at this point. We've been talking about good works. All other religions depend on good works. Whether it's the five pillars of Islam, or it's Buddhism, or it's Jehovah's Witnesses who come knocking sincerely at our doors, or it's Mormonism where you need to be baptized in the temple and you need to do all these incredible detailed things. Good works are necessary to earn salvation. What do Christians believe? So different. We just reach our hand out and say, we can't do it on our own. We need an undeserved mercy from God. And you know what's nice about that view? If you're in another religion and you're working toward it, your tendency is to put your to look your nose down at people who can't do as well as you've done. You say, well, I'm at least moving further along. I've visited a lot of homes this week. I have given a lot of alms this week. I'm a little better than these other people that haven't quite measured up to my good deeds. But Christianity says, We're all sinners. There's neither Jew nor Greek or male or female or slave or free. We should not and we will not, as Christians, look down on others when we have this view that it's undeserved mercy that we get. And you know, I am so grateful. With this view about how we get to heaven, I don't have to be perfect. I'm grateful that Jesus died for me. I didn't deserve it, but I am so grateful. I'm grateful now that God sees me as innocent. All of my sins were put on Jesus on the cross. He paid my debt, allowed me to enter His kingdom. And now God has in turn given me opportunities to do good deeds for Him out of love and gratitude. And my favorite verse in this aspect is Ephesians 2:10. Here's what it says. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. So think about that for just a minute. We're God's workmanship. We are, isn't that a beautiful way to think about it? We're God's poem. We're God's piece of art. We are. He doesn't see us as sinners. He sees us as a beautiful creation. And we were created in Christ to do good works, not to gain Christ, gain salvation, but we're created to do good works, which God's prepared in advance for us to do. So there's a big list of good works ready to go, and we need to find out what they are and start doing them.